I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, Hodges of the Dodges, The Thrill of Gil, or for those who don't speak in riddles and rhyme, a book celebrating former Dodgers first baseman Gil Hodges. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Bill.
On Wednesday, we learned that the World Cup of Hockey will return in 2016. This tournament has not been held since 2004. Are you thrilled that it will be back?
I don't understand it, but I guess I'm thrilled. There are two teams in this thing that are not made up by nation. If one of these teams that doesn't represent a country like wins the World Cup, do they take it on a parade through their agent's office?
That sounds like a very good suggestion. I think you should mail it in. The World Cup of Hockey will feature national teams made up of NHL players from six countries, but as you say, they'll also be a European all-star team and a team of players from the U.S. and Canada who are 24 or younger. It does sound curiously arbitrary, doesn't it?
It's amazingly arbitrary. I think it'll sell at least the first year. I mean, the Europeans will get into the whole all-star team thing, and the Americans and Canadians will have these rookies who will be playing over their heads. And as I think has been pointed out by more than one person, it may get them out from under having to go to the Olympics.
Well, exactly. And that's something that the people who run the NHL would just as soon accomplish,
right.
I guess. How much will players have to say about that Olympic decision, I wonder? Because as I understand it, the ones who don't have to go to the Olympics because they aren't quite good enough kind of like that break in the middle of the NHL season.
Well, that's the thing. It's an extended all-star break, you know, in a game that takes a great physical toll. But unfortunately, the guys who sign their paychecks don't like having them go to the Olympics, so that's the way the decision is going to come down, I think.
In August, the NCAA handed over to the five most powerful college conferences the opportunity to decide how much cost of attendance money to give to their athletes. You are perhaps not surprised that each athletic department has come up with a different figure. Do you suppose the recruits are currently thinking hard about Penn State?
Yes, I think they are. Penn State is giving out a $4,788 a year stipend. This is, once again, the structure of college sports collapsing into more equitable situation. There are going to be bumps along the road and complaints along the road, but the momentum is so strong behind reform in this particular sense that there's nothing stopping it.
Back in October, Texas athletic director Steve Patterson made noise about a potential $10,000 stipend, which is more than twice as much than what anybody else is offering. So what prevents this from just turning into a bidding war?
Nothing at the moment. A more sensible structure of college athletics at some point may be the way we control it, but at the moment, it's the Wild Kingdom.
Only a Game spoke with NCAA Executive VP for Regulatory Affairs Oliver Luck last weekend, and he mentioned some of the changes that have been made to the NCAA system of late.
And I think there'll be additional pluses coming down the road for the student athlete beyond what we already do. We've deregulated nutrition. We can feed it. We can hang a bag of oats around a student athlete's neck, you know, so they can eat 24 hours a day if we want to. So I think there's really a focus on what's the right thing for the health and the welfare of a student athlete, and as well as the mental well-being of a student athlete.
Curiously expressed, but will this be enough?
A very infelicitous metaphor right there. No, it won't be enough.
As in, go get them, horse.
Exactly. I've heard, you know, the misuse of the word slavery in regard to college athletes, but I think pushing them down to the level of dray horse is a bit much. Let's all not lose sight of the fact that the NCAA is only doing all of this because they're going to get their brains beaten out in court every time somebody takes them there.
Just in time for the pro soccer season to begin on schedule, Charlie, management and the players have agreed to a system of limited free agency and an increase in the minimum MLS wage. Players can become free agents when they turn 28 if they have 8 years in the league. A victory for labor?
I guess. It's a limited win. I mean, it's the labor win you get when you're playing for what is essentially a minor league.
This agreement delights fans with tickets, of course, since the season will begin. But I wonder, the players are suggesting it should also encourage young soccer players who will turn pro in the next decade, perhaps.
Well, I mean, you want to get to free agency, if that's the point. For that dynamic to work, there has to be a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You have to make it worth your while to go to free agency.
Finally, Charlie, I want you to listen to a bit of sound from the broadcast of Wednesday night's UCLA-USC men's basketball game and just tell me what you make of it.
I have milked a cow before, and I have been milked.
Those, of course, are the comedy stylings of Bill Walton.
What?
I'm a smart guy, you know? I have no idea what he's talking about there.
I don't.
I'm sure it might be a reference to the movie Meet the Parents, where Robert De Niro says, "I have nipples. Would you like to milk me?"
Mm.
I think. I mean, that's assuming that Bill goes to the movies. If he doesn't, I don't know.
I want to go a level higher and
assume. There is no level higher.
That maybe he meant, I have been taken advantage of as well as taking advantage.
Well, what was the context?
I have no idea.
I hope that was the context. Because if they were talking about dairy products, that's weird.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, and he joins me each week on Only a Game, even when there are no dairy products involved. Thank you, Charlie.
Moo.